This morning's first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10.
Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you to a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Oh Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a youth, for all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.'" This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the end of chapter 12 through chapter 13, verse 13.
"And I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have no love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have no love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 44. "And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, 'Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out from him.' And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, 'What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.' And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So thank you once again, Aiden. You're getting to be a regular around here. You know, I remember a pastor's conference in Richland, Washington, years ago now. And I was sitting between two veteran pastors at a table when they started talking about their trips to Africa. And one of these guys, a friend of mine, told about how he and his 12-year-old son traveled with a group of African pastors out onto the plains of Kenya. They rode in three ancient Range Rovers crammed with people. They drove for 9 hours, much of it over deeply rutted trails. They stopped just one time and were given very strict instructions to never leave the vehicle, never wander even a few feet out into the brush for a potty stop. You never know where a lion might be lurking. After 9 hours, they arrived at their destination, a tiny village of maybe a few hundred people, a place so remote, so far removed from the rest of humanity, it seemed separated not just by miles, but by 1,000 years. And there they got out of the Range Rover. Sitting in the doorway of a thatched grass hut was an old woman who my friend described as grotesquely misshapen. Her joints were so twisted and gnarled that her arms curled around her body and her hands curled around her wrists. Her calves extended from her knees, pointed the wrong way. She was the victim of a crippling form of arthritis, so advanced in its progression, it's rarely or never seen in the West. My friend said she was hard to look at. But it was that woman this group of African pastors gathered around, and they started to pray. Gradually, they began to pray in rhythm, and the villagers gathered around and started to chant prayers with them. This friend of mine was a little taken aback by the whole scene, but he hadn't seen anything yet, because all of a sudden, the woman stood up and started to dance with all her limbs functioning. The villagers erupted in singing and dancing. The woman was singing and dancing, everyone with tears streaming down their faces, praising God. She was healed. My pastor friend was absolutely astounded. Don't you love stories like that? True stories from credible sources of God working miracles today, just like back in the day when Jesus cast out demons, healed the sick, and restored full function to the blind and deaf and paralyzed. Stories like this prove that it still happens today. Maybe it's even happened to you. Certainly some of us have experienced supernatural miracles from God, glorious moments of answered prayer. I've experienced moments like that myself. Here's the catch, though. Sometimes we don't. In fact, some of us have prayed and prayed and prayed. Maybe we've even fasted and waited on the Lord. And yet our loved one died. our marriage failed. The very things we feared most for our child happened anyway. You know, this is the last, or this is the season of Epiphany. And our gospel reading from Luke chapter 4, like all good Epiphany readings, recounts Jesus revealing himself to be the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. Jesus revealed himself in Luke 4 by performing miracle after miracle. So tell me, how does Jesus reveal himself when there is no miracle? When there is no glorious evidence of answered prayer? When there is, in fact, the opposite, death and shame and sadness and tragedy? Where's God then? You know, the idea that it's Jesus' primary task to eliminate human suffering on earth and ensure human success in this life in response to our prayers, that's an invention of the 20th century American church. Take a look at our gospel reading, Luke 4, verse 40. Jesus spent a very long night at Peter's house in Capernaum, healing every single person that came to receive healing. But as dawn broke, Jesus, exhausted, attempted to remove himself from the crowd. But the crowd was relentless. Verse 42 says that even though Jesus retreated to a desolate place, they sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them if they could have. So Jesus had to explain himself to the crowd. But he did not say, I need to demonstrate my ability to miraculously heal in other towns as well. That's not what he said. Instead, he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. For I was sent for that purpose. The good news of the kingdom of God is the earth-shattering announcement that God forgives sinners. That though you are sinful, Christ died for you. That your broken relationship with God has been reconciled. That's the good news of the kingdom of God. And Jesus was sent to proclaim the good news. So why was healing such a big part of his ministry? If you keep reading in Luke, you quickly find out. Starting in Luke 5, there's the story of the resourceful men who brought their paralyzed friend to Capernaum on a stretcher so Jesus could heal him. Entering the town, they quickly found the house where Jesus was teaching. But the crowd was big, and the crowd was dense, and there was no getting through them, especially carrying a stretcher. But these resourceful men didn't give up. They climbed onto the roof of the house and made a hole through it big enough to lower their friend and place him right in front of Jesus. Perfect. Now all Jesus had to do was heal him. But that's not what Jesus did. Not at first. First, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven. And when the Pharisees in the house nearly passed out, hearing that blasphemous statement, only then did Jesus say, What's easier to say to a paralyzed man? Your sins are forgiven? Or get up and go home? There was no response. And Jesus continued, In order that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, turning to the paralyzed man, he said, Get up, take your mat, and go home. And that's just what the man did. Jesus healed in order to demonstrate his authority to forgive our sins, and also to express his deep love and compassion for each of us. Reading through the pages of the Gospels, Jesus in his mercy healed men and women, sons and daughters, the old and young, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor. He healed the hated and the well-loved. He healed promiscuously. Healing didn't require a litmus test of faith. There was no qualifying to be healed, no status required. In fact, he healed thousands whose names we do not know. And yet, John the Baptist, the greatest of all the prophets, was left to die in prison, his prayers for freedom unfulfilled. So maybe your question is, will Jesus heal me, or my spouse, or my child? Will my prayers be answered? I don't know. But I do know that we're instructed to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5. Why are we instructed to pray continually? Because Jesus continues to reveal himself to us in acts of great mercy. And his great mercy lends authority to these words, "Your sins are forgiven. Whoever believes in me will live, even if you die." From Matthew 7. I also know that Jesus comforts us in his word and in his body and blood. He meets us in our struggles and disappointments. He promises that all things, particularly the most difficult things in your life, he'll work together for your good. Romans 8:28. Isaiah 38:17 says, "Behold, it was for my welfare that I suffered great anguish. In love you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction, for you have cast all my sins behind your back." Even when life is brutal, you can be confident that your prayers are heard and that your life is firmly in God's hands and that he loves you beyond comprehension. His mercy and compassion will never waver. His mercy and compassion toward you, best expressed in these words from Jesus: "Your sin is forgiven. Be at peace." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us. Lord, help us to treasure what you have come to give us. And you have come to give us forgiveness and acceptance and reconciliation with God. Lord, help us to treasure this incredible gift. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.